You are tuned in to The Nancy Ruffin Show, a digital global classroom where individuals across all ages, backgrounds, and career levels tune in for guidance and motivation to live life on their own terms. Hosted by award-winning author, transformation coach, and the self-proclaimed Latina Oprah, The Nancy Ruffin Show is where inspiring thought leaders, modern-day influencers, and social game changers come to discuss their own personal journeys and have real conversations about the journey to success. It's where the next generation of leaders come to tap into their potential, ignite their fire, and expand their self-awareness. So if you're ready to power up and blaze trails of positive change, then you're in the right place. Let's get started. Welcome back, guys. It is Nancy Ruffin. You are tuned in to another episode of The Nancy Ruffin Show. I am feeling incredibly blessed today, grateful. I just am in awe of the love and grace that God has just given me, continues to give me. For those of you who are loyal listeners, you know that this past week I underwent breast surgery, and up until the actual day of the surgery, I was a complete mess. I was terrified. Even though I am faithful and faith-filled, that little voice of fear was heavy, weighing heavy on my mind. And it's just the fear of the unknown, the fear of not knowing what to expect the day of the surgery, not knowing what to expect after the surgery is done, the recovery time, how physically I was going to be feeling. It was just all of those things. Not that I wasn't trusting in God and that I was going to be okay and make it through the surgery. That I had covered. Like, I knew I was going to be fine. My thing was just the post-op. How I was going to feel afterward, and how if I would have been able to kind of handle it. And I have to say that the surgery was an incredible success. It was way better than I could have imagined. I had an all-female surgical team. When I tell you that that was probably the highlight of the entire surgery, I walked into that operating room and my breast surgeon, I knew she was a woman because I had met with her, you know, prior to the surgery, but the anesthesiologist was a woman, the nurse was a woman, the surgical techs were women, and I mean, it was just a room full of women. And in that moment, I was just so at peace, so at ease. I remember the last time I checked, the last time that I remember being awake, it was 8:56 a.m. And then I woke up a little over an hour later, sometime past 10 o'clock, and it was over. And so all the anxiety and fear that I had had leading up to the surgery was almost pointless. I felt like I wasted this worry and then having this fear for nothing, because it just confirmed for me what I already knew, that God had me covered. And those women just reaffirmed that for me, being there, being among, you know, you all know I go so hard for my women. My whole brand is built on unity and female empowerment. And so it was like, wow, if this is not a sign from God telling me that I'm going to be okay, I don't know what is. So this past week, I have been home. I have been recovering. I am getting ready to also start a new job on September 23rd. And so I have really been taking this time to just chill out, to relax, and to allow my body to heal itself and really give myself some time to just be off. You know, I'm always not working, right? I'm always working. And sometimes it's really good to just take a break and not worry about the work, right? Because the work is always going to be there. But what's not always going to be there are the moments with loved ones, right? Or the moments that you spend on yourself, just making sure that you're 100%. And so that's what I've been doing. And I'm just about ready to get back to work, you know, because too much rest then becomes pointless. You know, we rest because we work hard. But for me, it's important to get back to work. And I'm going back to my old job or to my current job this week just to kind of tie up loose ends, make sure that the transition from my work to whoever is going to be taking over it is a smooth one. And then in about a week, I will be in my new role, ready to go. And that coupled with the fact that the kids have gone back to school, that I am kind of going full force with The Fierce Woman. This is the season where I become the most busy because these are my workshop. This is my workshop season, my speaking seminar, you know, my speaking engagements, my seminars, all of this stuff happens in the fall and in the winter time. So thinking about all of these things that are going to be coming my way and thinking about how full my calendar is going to get, I've been thinking about what is the best way to manage my time so that I ensure I get all of the things that I want to do done without burning myself out, with also making sure that I am committing and spending enough time with my family and loved ones, and also making sure that I'm taking time out to give back to myself. That self-care is so important, because if we are not feeling good, then we won't be able to execute. We can only give what we have, right? So if we're not feeling well, whatever we put our energy to is always going to be half-assed. So these are the things that I've been thinking about. And so I really wanted to share with you all some of the time management or time saving tips that really help me and kind of help to keep me sane and not all over the place as soon as my schedule starts to get a little busy. So we're going to take this break, but when we come back, we're going to get into time saving tips for the busy professional, for the working mom, the working dad. You know, we wear multiple hats. We're always juggling different things, you know, so for those of us who have 100 things on our plate and we're trying to figure out how to get more time out of the day, this episode is for you. So sit tight, and when I come back, we're gonna get right into it.
You are now listening to the one and only Nancy Ruffin.
We are back. Thank you for sticking around. It's your girl, Nancy Ruffin. And this week, I wanted to talk about how we make the most of our time so that we're not wasting time and that we're using our time effectively. One of the questions that I often get asked, and I get asked almost all the time, is how do I find the time to do all that I do? Now, there's no secret behind it. There really isn't. For me, I am just very conscious of the fact that there is a certain amount of time in a day that I have, and that I somehow have to figure out how to split it up between my professional life and my family life. And both of them are priorities, right? I have to have a career. I have to work because I need to be able to earn income so that I can support my family. But by the same, you know, the same token, I have to make my family a priority because I have to make sure that my kids are well taken care of. I have to make sure that they're fed, that they get to school safely, that they're picked up timely, that once they get home, I'm spending enough time with them doing their schoolwork and speaking to them and just really listening, you know, to how their day was and how they're feeling. And then I also have to figure out how to spend time with the husband, right? Because we have to make sure that our relationship is tight, because we have to date each other. Just because we're partners in life and in business, because I think that marriage has a business component, we have to remember that we also have to give each other the love and affection that as human beings we need, you know. So it's trying to figure out, how do you do all of these things, you know? And I get this question a lot from moms, because yo, it gets overwhelming. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and pretend that it's easy. And the thing is that you develop your own routine and you kind of stick with that. But the thing with routines are, you have to make sure that the routine is positive and that you're creating good habits and not bad ones. So the first thing that works for me is waking up, and I would say for the average person, wake up 30 minutes earlier than the rest of your family, than your husband or your spouse and your children. That additional time to yourself in the morning is just such a huge advantage, at least for me. You know, my kids wake up, I wake them up about 6:30 every morning to get them ready for school. My husband wakes up between 5:30 and 6. So that means I wake up by 5 o'clock. So at 5 o'clock, that gives me just enough time to pray, to meditate, to journal, and drink my coffee in peace by myself. And that ritual, that routine, really sets the tone for the kind of day that I'm going to have. And look, life happens, right? So there are going to be days where you're just frazzled, where things pop up and just get under your skin. And no matter how much, you know, you pray and meditate and journal in the morning, by the end of the day, you're ready to pull your hair out. But for the most part, when I do that, it allows me to set my intentions for the day. When I start the day talking to God, I give everything to Him. Whatever it is I'm thinking that day, whatever I may be anxious about, whatever I'm worried about, I talk about it, you know, through my prayer time, during my meditation. It really allows me to kind of clear my head and just release any of the anxiety or negative feelings that may be, you know, I may be harboring within myself that I may not even realize. And then the journaling really helps me to tie all that together. So during my journal time, I'm writing about my prayers or the things that I've talked to God about. I'm also including, you know, what the meditation was like for me. And then I'm also, you know, writing about whatever's on my mind. You know, for the past few weeks, what has been on my mind was the breast surgery. So a lot of my journaling had to do with the fear and anxiety that revolved around all of that. Simultaneously, a friend of mine recently lost her baby son. You know, he was 8.5 months in the NICU. He was born in ICU. He never stepped outside of the hospital because he was born he was born prematurely, and then there was, you know, he had other health issues that I don't know exactly what they were, but I know he had trouble with his lungs and trouble with his heart, and so he had been in the ICU for his entire life, and he recently passed away. And so a lot of my prayer time and journal time had also been devoted to that, just praying for his young life, praying for his mom and for his family and for all of those who loved him, you know. And so I start my day out with prayer, with journaling, meditation. It helps me to set my intention for the day. And then when you do that, you have a general idea of how you want your day to go. Another thing that I do that has helped me really identify how to make the best use of my time, and I have my, when I have my workshops, my strategic visioning workshops, I have the attendees do this as well. I have them assess their time. So I make an inventory of how I spend my time daily. And I start from the moment I wake up to the minute that I go to sleep, and I jot down everything that I do, the time that I do it, and for the duration that I'm doing that particular task, you know. So an example of that, of what that would look like for me, would be between 5 and 5:30. You know, it's my prayer, journal, meditation time. From 5:30 to 6:30, that's my time to get myself ready, get myself dressed. I could probably cut that down to half an hour when I think about the fact that I pre-plan my clothes. That's another thing on the list. But from 5:30 to 6:30, I spend getting myself ready. 6:30, I wake up the kids. I get them ready. I get them dressed, comb their hair, fed. All of that happens, both of them, both my girls, from 6:30 till about 7:10, 7:15 on a good day. I try to be out of my house and on my way to work by 7:30. So between 7:15, 7:30, I am coordinating with my husband, making sure that the girls have their lunches, their snacks, making sure that their, you know, their backpacks are packed and that they have everything that they need in their backpacks. I'm checking for the weather, making sure that, you know, if it's cool, that they have a jacket, if it's raining, the umbrella. So like in those 15 minutes, all of that stuff is happening. And before I leave for the day, you know, I spend 2 minutes with them, and, you know, I pray with them, and I make sure I have them say affirmations. You know, I want them to start their day out positively as well. So I remind them that they are strong, they are powerful, that mommy and daddy love them, that God loves them, that they can do anything they set their minds to. So we have this whole spiel that we do before I leave, because I know that as I instill these things in my kids, even as young as they are, that is going to help them develop their inner voice. And these things were going to become second nature to them even when I'm not around. So a lot of what I do for myself, I make sure that I'm passing it down to my kids. So you take an inventory of your day, every single thing that you do. So I go to the bus stop, you know, hopefully I can get on a bus quickly. Sometimes it doesn't happen because the buses are always jam-packed. There are no seats, and I refuse to stand on a bus from New Jersey all the way into Port Authority. So with that respect, I can't always account for the time that I'm going to get on the bus. But usually between 7:30, 7:45, I'm on a bus into the city. During my commuting time, that's idle time. I'm sitting, not doing anything. I make sure that I use that time to answer emails, to jot down any ideas that I may be having for workshops or events or things that I need to get done. I also use that as reading time, to listen to podcasts, to read my Bible app. I mean, whatever it is for you, you can use your commuting time to do those things. And even if you don't take a bus or a train or any of those things, if you drive to work, you can still do the same thing when you're in your car. Because there's times when I drive, you can use an audio recorder to jot down your thoughts, to jot down your to-do list. You can listen to audiobooks in the car, you can listen to podcasts in the car, you know, you can pray in the car. There's so many things that you can do also while you're driving, helping you to prioritize and make the most of your time. So you're gonna take inventory of your time, right? You wanna jot down anywhere where you're wasting time or not making the most of your time. And I will tell you that by the time you list your day out from the beginning to end, and you can see what you're spending your time on, and you can see how long, you know, you're spending doing this, these things, that task alone will help you identify things where you can cut out totally from your day and tasks that you can probably complete quicker and sooner when you realize how long you're spending doing certain things. The next thing that I do is that I make a to-do list that is realistic. A lot of times we make these to-do lists that have like 10 items on them to do in one day. And for me, that is not realistic. And so I always encourage people to make a list of the top three things that you have to get done that day. And you look at the three items and then you prioritize, right? What is the most critical thing you have to do today? You put that on the top of your list. You get that done first, then the next critical thing second, and then the last third. And then you work that way. And then by the end of the day, when you look at what you needed to do, when you look at what you accomplished, you feel like you've actually done something instead of making this list of 10 things and then you look and you only accomplished three. Then that makes you look like a failure. You lose, the excitement, and it leaves you at the end of the day feeling defeated, feeling as if you didn't accomplish what you set out to do for that day. Another thing that I do is I prep for my week on Sundays. And a lot of people, this is hard for them and this is difficult, but I will tell you that prepping on Sundays saves me an incredible amount of time. So on Sundays, that is my chore day. That is when we're doing grocery shopping. That is when I'm washing the laundry. That is when I'm cleaning the house. But that is also where I'm prepping my kids' snacks for the week. So I make their snacks for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday on Sunday. I don't do their lunches just because I don't think lunch pre-planned is going to last for 5 days, especially for kids who are really finicky and every single day they might want something different. But for the lunch, I prep it the night before. So then the next day, their lunches are done, their snacks are done, everything's in their lunchbox. I don't have to waste any time the next day figuring these things out. And I have two kids, so that would be twice the time spent on that. I also prep their clothes for the week on Sundays. With my youngest, it's really easy because she wears a uniform to school. So it's the same thing Monday through Friday. So I make sure that the uniform is ironed. I hang up the uniform, with the socks that she's going to wear that day and any other accessories that have to go along with it, whether it's a sweater, jacket, whatever, everything gets nicely hung so that in the morning, all I have to do is take it off the hanger and dress her. The same thing for my oldest. She doesn't wear a uniform, so with her is a little bit more time consuming because I have to figure out what she's going to wear on each day based on what the weather's going to be like. So I look at my weather app and I pick the clothes accordingly. I iron them, put them in hangers, and she has her stuff Monday through Friday. I also prep clothes for myself based on the same concept. I look at the weather and I plan my outfits for the week based on what the weather is. And of course, sometimes you can't trust the weather app, you can't trust the weatherman or the weather woman. And so sometimes I may have to deviate, but for the most part, my clothes are prepped, the kids' clothes are prepped, and the snacks are prepped on Sunday. Those things save me so much time not having to think about it during the week. Another thing that I live by is setting boundaries for myself. And what I mean by that is there has to be a time when you're off of work and you're not thinking about work, you're not working on work. You have to give yourself boundaries. And so for when I leave my office, as soon as I leave my office, I work an 8-to-4 schedule. Well, I'm supposed to work 8-to-4 schedule. Sometimes I don't get to work at 8 because of the bus. But I leave the office every single day no later than 4 p.m. and I leave the office at the office. And so when I get home, I am not working when I'm home. When I'm home, I am focused solely on my family and on my kids. I know so many people who give so much of their life and their time to their work, and they suffer in doing that. And I will tell you that unless you work in an industry where, I don't know, people's lives depend on it, there's nothing that you're doing today that you can't do tomorrow. And if you're working, you know, until the wee hours of the night, then you have to reassess your time management and why you can't do your job within a reasonable amount of time. I work, you know, with someone who was fairly new to my organization, and she was working till like 7 p.m. on some nights. And my job is not a job. It's not a life or death job. So if you leave at 4, 5, at 7, no one's going to die, right, if you leave early. And the fact that she was staying till 7, I'm like, why are you staying so late? There's nothing that you're doing till 7 p.m. that you can't do the next day. And she has young children. And so for me as a mom, I'm always wondering, like, if you're here till 7, you're not getting home at least until 8 o'clock. And then by the time you get home, what time are you giving to your family? Because by that time, you have to be burnt out from work. And all you want to do is kind of eat dinner, take a shower, and then relax. And so set boundaries for yourself. When you're at work, you're at work. But when you're home, you're home. And even when you're home, you have to set boundaries for yourself. Make sure if you have young kids, make sure they're on a bedtime routine and a reasonable bedtime routine. There's no reason why you and your kids should be going to bed at the same time. That they need more hours to sleep and more hours to rest. So they should be going to bed at least 2 hours before you do. And then those 2 hours you have for yourself to unwind, to reconnect with your spouse, to work on a side business if that's what you have. But you have to make sure that you're also setting boundaries for yourself. One of the things that I do, you know, my kids have a set bedtime. 7:30, they're in bed. I don't care if they're not tired. That's not my business. You have to be in bed by 7:30 because they have to know that we have routines in this house, things that they need to follow, and their bodies just need rest. They need to unwind from a long day. And even if they don't fall asleep at 7:30, if they're in bed by 7:30, by 8 o'clock, they're already asleep. So by 8 o'clock, I have the evening to myself. That is when I spend an hour or so on my side hustle, on my other businesses. And I also spend time with my husband. And we'll sit and we'll talk about each other's day. You know, he'll rub my feet and my back and all that good stuff. But we have time for each other. And I don't, cross those boundaries. I honor them. And, you know, one thing that I recently implemented too is, you know, no screen time. Like after 9 o'clock, I'm off my phone. I don't know if for those of you who are iPhone users, you can set your phone to shut down at a certain time and it will lock all the apps for you. And I have that set for 9 o'clock. Sometimes I might sneak a peek, but for the most part, I honor that because it's important to me to make sure that I disconnect. Your social media can give you anxiety if you're not careful. It's just so much information coming at you at once. So you have to make sure that you set those boundaries. And once you set the boundaries, you honor them. It's so easy to kind of say, oh, screw it, and not pay attention to the boundaries that you set for yourself. But you have to. And if you find that you're constantly disregarding the boundaries you set for yourself, then I challenge you to really look at yourself more deeply and ask yourself why. because then I'm almost positive that if you're not sticking to these boundaries that you set for yourself, more likelier than not that you also allow others in your lives, in your life, to overstep the boundaries that you set. You know, everything is a pattern, and everything that we allow comes from a deeper internal emotional place. And being able to understand that is really the first step to sticking to your boundaries and to creating habits, routines, and change in your life that will be sustainable. Another thing that I do is set expectations for yourself and follow through on the things that you say you're going to do. So for example, we look at that to-do list, right? And you set 3 things that you're going to do for yourself that day. Stick to those 3 things. Make the commitment to yourself the same way you commit to your boss, right? Or to someone that you report to. If you tell your boss that you're going to do something, you're likely to do it and to follow through. So make sure that you have those same expectations for yourself. Another thing that I do is delegate. In my household, there's 4 of us. Yes, I have 2 little people that live here, but everyone is responsible for their own thing. You know, an example of how you can use your young children to kind of help with some of the workload at home is like laundry day. My kids have a hamper in their room, so they know that when they get home and they undress, their clothes go in the hamper, and they know that their clothes have to be washed. So a little fun game that we've implemented in the house, you know, on laundry day, is that they empty their hamper and they sort their clothes based on whites and colors. See, it saves me the job from doing it. Not only does it save me from doing it, it also helps them identify the whites from the colors. So we're educating them as well. You know, my husband and I, we split a lot of the housework. And ladies and men, make sure that your spouse is contributing to household chores. We are living in 2019. This is not 1950s, and there is no reason why one person, one of the spouses, should be doing all the housework by themselves. And you know, just make sure that you delegate. Being able to split up the work really helps you get back some of that time. And then I think the most important thing that I can stress is learn how to say no. We live in a society that guilts us when we say no to things, that if we say no, it's a bad thing, and then we feel guilty for saying no to someone. And so when we do that, we tend to force ourselves into doing things we may not necessarily want to do. And when you're doing something for someone else, that is taking time away from yourself. And I will tell you that for me, the biggest thing that I learned was to say no. This is also why I live by a calendar. And I would encourage you to do so too. You put everything that you need to do throughout your day in a calendar, because that way you can see exactly how much time you have in your day for extracurricular things or for things that other people may want you to do. And if you look at your calendar and you have no time and somebody wants you to do something for them or do them a favor, and you just can't do it, and you have to say no, like, I can't, I have a full schedule, I just can't do it. And I will tell you that the first no is always the most difficult, but the more you say no, the easier it gets and the less guilty you feel. And I promise you, you will eventually feel better about it. Don't feel guilty about saying no to someone else, because when you say yes to someone else, you're saying no to yourself. Remember that. And I think that the last thing I want to share that I think is just really helpful for me, and I think kind of goes in line with everything that I have been saying, is just develop good habits and routines. Be intentional with your time. Be purposeful with the things that you are doing throughout your day, the energy that you are giving to certain tasks. Make sure that everything has a purpose and that it's done with intention, that everything that you're doing is helping to improve your life and that of your family. And if it isn't, then let it go. If it isn't adding any value to your work life, your home life, or to anything that you enjoy, let it go and don't feel guilty about it. So with that being said, I hope these tips were helpful. If you have specific questions, you know, that you want to ask me about, want me to elaborate on anything that I shared, just shoot me a message. You can reach me at nancy@thefiercewoman.org. If you have not already subscribed to my mailing list, make sure to do so. I told you this is the season of workshops and events. We are going to be kicking off our first event of this fall season on October 26th. It's a secret location. But when you purchase your tickets, you will see where we're having it. It's a really cool and exciting venue. Like, I'm super stoked to be partnering with this huge technology company to bring this first event that is focused on digital marketing and how we can use the different digital platforms to grow and expand our businesses and our careers and our personal brands. So if this interests you, I am going to be posting the flyers for it this week. Make sure that you keep an eye out on my social media platforms for the registration link. Tickets are going to sell fast. I'm having some amazing panel speakers. You guys definitely want to be there. And I'm excited. So make sure you sign up to the mailing list if you have not already done so. If you love the Nancy Ruffin Show, if you find that this is valuable, please leave us a rating, a review. Numbers matter in the podcast world. Where everything is numbers and algorithms. The more reviews I get, the more stars the show gets, the more visible we become to other listeners on these streaming platforms. So until next time, mi gente, go out there and crush those goals.
Thank you for listening to the Nancy Ruffin Show.